Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits, with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Hey, if you've suffered an injury in an accident and would like a free case review, make sure you call the super team at Daspit Law Firm. Free consultations are available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 713-322-HURT. That's 713-322-HURT. Or you can go to the website, DaspitLaw.com.
It's John and Lance.
Do you have any, is there any intelligence out there at all?
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
The Loaded Baked Potato from Camaras Barbecue is the sponsor of the 8 o'clock hour today. Warm, loaded with butter, cheese, sour cream, chives, and topped with your favorite barbecue meat. Ooh, that sounds good today. It'll keep you full all day long. Get it over at either Camaras location. You will thank me later. 713-780-3776 is the number. There were a lot of things.
Oh, my God. The Washington Commanders under a rookie quarterback have not punted in two games.
How about that?
They haven't punted for two straight games.
There were zero punts in that game last night.
Oh, that can't be true, is it?
Yeah. Zero punts. Burrow, every possession.
Burrow, you loser.
Every possession. McPherson missed the first. Otherwise, the Bengals scored every possession.
How do you like the over in that one?
Yeah, that was a good over. That was easy. Anytime. They scored every possession.
Yeah.
Wow. Let's get Robert in here. This is something I have issue with, what he's talking about here. What's up, Robert?
Guys, first of all, I just wanted to say that I applaud Shannon Sharp yesterday. He ripped Jerry Jones a new one and made everybody realize that what's causing the problems in Dallas is Jerry Jones. That's all I want to say about that one. But my question is after the game Sunday, they interviewed Jonathan Grenard, and Grenard acted insulted that Texans would put Stover on him to try to block him. Why would we do that? I mean, is Dalton Schultz not a better blocker than Stover?
No, he's not.
And if Stover's such a project, then why are we putting him in that position? When we see the game's kind of not going our way.
Well,
it was
the
first play of the game.
Yeah, that happened early. But D'Amico actually addressed that. Do we have that sound? Because D'Amico addressed how tight ends get involved. I'll have to pull it up.
That's great.
And he said, look, there's going to be certain protection calls where you end up with that, where they've got it. Sometimes they chip, sometimes they do that. Okay, Dalton Schultz is, number one, not better than Stover. Dalton Schultz is not a high-effort blocker. Stover will be better, but he's not ready yet. And so the point I made yesterday was that I was surprised that Stover was that overwhelmed in some of those spots. And Brevin Jordan is much better than both of those guys in pass pro stuff that I've seen with him. And he's not great, but it never looks good. What's the win rate for a tight end against a rusher historically? 3%? 5%? Every time I see a tight end on a pass rusher, yeah, I see them getting their butt kicked immediately. Like, it seems like it never works. There's only a few tight ends that can actually handle a pass rusher competently. And Stover ain't it. Not yet, at least. And I know Schultz isn't it. So, yeah, that was a really bad look. When he just got – and it's not like he beat him with a hand slap move. He literally just stabbed him and ran him into the ground. Boom! Long-armed him. It was an embarrassing loss.
Well, there were so many questionable calls. I never understand. I never understand where a great defensive end just goes unblocked. It happens all the time that you, I don't know. I just don't get it. And all he has to do is knife down and get the running back in the backfield, but they leave him unblocked. It just doesn't make any sense to me. I don't get it. What else doesn't make any sense is all these safeties that are covering Justin Jefferson. I don't understand. I don't understand what the heck, who designed this defense war that the first play of the game, Cade Stover is going to block Jonathan Grenard. Jonathan Grenard, who is amped up, wants to play, wants to destroy the team that let him go and decided that Danielle Hunter was going to be better. Jonathan Grenard had something to prove in this game, and you put Cade Stover on him to start the game? The first play?
Right.
I mean, I could see if it's a little bit later in the game, but that dude was ready to play. He was ready to go and crush people. And first thing you put Cade Stover on him? Mm-hmm. I don't get. I don't know. I don't know. It just doesn't, that doesn't make any sense to me. Anyway, 713-780-3776 if you want to get in here. Boulder wants to get in on the show. Hey, Boulder.
Hey, what's happening, brothers? Love the show. I had a question about the Tunsil conversation, and it might be more directed to Lance. What I don't understand is when they break the huddle, isn't there a cue, a signal that he should understand or know? Because it's hurting us. It's killing us.
Mm-hmm.
And if it's a selfishness issue, well, then, yeah, Ryan's will have to figure that out. But I guess my question to Lance is, isn't there a cue or a something that these guys should know? I mean, at least watch the ball or something. I don't know. Help me out there.
Yeah, no, you're right. I mean, it's not, we're not overthinking it. It's just snap count. You know, if you're on the road, there's silent count. Sometime you have to go to where it's a clap. Silent count, a lot of time the tackles have to zero in on the center and the ball, just like you said. Everything you said is right. John, I don't know if Knox College, if you guys ever had to go to silent count on the road. So I don't know if you ever had to deal with the silent count.
When the Prairie Fire were in a tough environment, did you guys have to go silent count?
Did you guys have to go when you were quarterback?
Did your guard have to look back and you lift your leg?
Where he touches the center,
yeah,
to let him know when to snap?
Not often.
Yeah,
I mean, he's wearing us out.
So I know. It's terrible.
Appreciate
it, Boulder. No, everything you said is right. He knows the snap count. He knows on silent count, you know, you have to take a look at the center. When the ball snaps, sometimes you can hear the claps, depending on who does that and which teams do that. And Melissa's coming in here. She got to see. It's funny, mm-hmm. Melissa from Power. Yeah, just come on real quick, Melissa. You got to see, because we feel like we just have some unfinished business. All the listeners, I went to your, somebody sent one of your Instagram pictures. And so I went to your Insta, why? Just because that's how they do. And I went and saw your, I went and saw the comments. And a lot of people did tell you to come to the party. Yay, well, I can't.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Yeah.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, I can hear
you.
Good morning. Thank you for the invitation on Friday. It was amazing. I love to get to know all of your listeners. They're so nice.
Uh-huh.
They welcomed me so nice. And then I was very surprised about your personality. What's going on with you? Like, you're super asleep during the morning, but you were like really outgoing on Friday afternoon. I was like, who's that guy?
I'm always like that.
Right, Al?
You'd never seen that, John.
Correct. No.
You'd never seen that, John.
No.
She was very surprised. So was Abigail and so was Sam. And that's to me and Dell, it's like, wait, y'all, I don't know. Like, he tells you who he is.
Because in the morning, he's very like, hi, good morning, Melissa. And that's it, you know, like very quiet, calm. But then everyone was following you around the room and you were talking to everyone and taking pictures. And I was like, okay.
And then how was he behaving?
Good.
Yes. No, not behaving.
No, he didn't misbehave, but he was really outgoing.
Yeah.
Like extra outgoing.
Yeah, that's
super
what I'm getting
outgoing.
To. Yes.
Well, that's what a
tremendously
few
outgoing.
Do.
A few.
More than a few beers will do.
No, but it was really nice. A lot of people came to your party, and it was
you
really
had
nice.
Fun?
Yes.
And was everybody
did.
Nice, or were there any pervs? What? Did anybody?
No, they were super respectful.
Who hit on you?
No one did.
Oh,
well, you want to get people in trouble?
Yes.
Our listeners are respectful.
Yeah, they were telling me and inviting me to a golf tournament. So I start training. Am I being invited to it?
You're going to go play golf with them?
Which tournament? We don't
with you guys. I don't know. That's what they were saying.
Do we don't have a
Gil,
tournament coming
Gil was
up.
Trying to.
We have a celebrity. No, don't we have a charity thing coming up? You're like, is it the bat pen?
There's
oh, yeah, because you're not going to be
you're
there.
You're not going to
huh?
be there.
No, the CCA is coming up. But I don't know if we have a team. Do we have a team?
I don't know.
No. I don't know that.
That's what they were saying.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Well, you going to play?
Of course.
You are?
Yeah,
of
course. I'm training.
You're training
Yeah, I'm
right
very
now.
Competitive.
You're in training right now.
Yes.
Okay.
I'm in the mood. I'm dreaming about it.
So you had
no,
fun.
No, I'm kidding. Yes, it was really fun. It was really nice.
You looked wonderful, and thank you for
coming. Thank you, guys, for the invitation. It was really nice.
It was very nice of you to come and meet our...
I wanted to thank you and thank the listeners because they keep following me on Instagram and chatting with me.
And a lot of people were telling you. And they weren't bad comments. They just said, come to the party. That's all.
No, even on my DM, you know, because he was suggesting them to slide on my DM, but they didn't. No, they were really respectful.
I didn't say it. He said it.
No,
actually.
You said it.
No,
I didn't say it.
He said it.
Was young, right?
No, don't.
He was young, right?
No, don't slide.
And she turned right to you and said it. Why do you think she turned right to you?
No.
Yeah, because you say, "Oh, you mean a slide?" And I was like, "No, I didn't mean a slide on my DM. Just like you know,
John,
being
don't
here.
Blame anyone else. It was you.
Yes, it was you, John.
It was him. That
I know
said
you were sleepy at this time, but it was you.
I'm pretty sure it wasn't me. But either way, don't slide into her DMs.
No.
Okay,
no.
Don't do it.
Okay? No, they were very respectful.
They are very
and a lot of guys with their significant other, with their wife, but they also showed up, and I made friendships with the girls, so it was nice.
That's good.
Very good.
Yeah,
we have wonderful listeners. Wonderful listeners. And it was a lot of fun. We had a great time. A great time had by all. Yep.
Thank you guys
so much for coming.
Thank you.
We appreciate it. There's Melissa Blanco from what's the station?
Power 105.
Nope.
Yeah, it is.
105.
We don't do points.
Yes, we do.
Not in
we do points.
Yes. We do? I thought we just say 105. Power, 105.
105.3, okay.
Are you sure it's not 0.7?
No, it's 0.3.
Okay.
Okay, because I see it every day when we walk in here, okay? Every day. 713-780. I don't think I said slide into the DMs.
You did. Sure she said. She knows. She said, no, it was you.
I don't think so. But I'd like to imitate her. Slide into the DMs. Time to talk about HR&P. Okay, I was very nice that night. She said it, so I should HR&P shouldn't be on my ass right now.
She said you weren't misbehaved, but you weren't behaved though.
Yeah,
that's
you weren't
not
behaved.
True.
Yeah, she said I was very nice. I was very.
How
nice.
Come we outgoing. Had to say no one takes
super
no one gets
outgoing? I believe is what. She
what
said.
About if we
outgoing.
Said put the camera away? We had to tell people put your camera away.
If there's
away.
Ever an instance where you have to tell people in the public to not film something, maybe you weren't behaving as you should have.
I didn't say that, did some I? Pe- did yeah, I tell everybody
the,
not
put
to?
The camera down.
Oh, okay.
Sam, no.
No.
Well.
She wants to tape everything. Sam, this is not things that we tape.
This is not. This is not something we tape. And this is what we do is we just do this for the party and that's it. And HR&P, you know what? They didn't. I've not gotten one call. But here's the deal: is you need to call HR&P. You need to call them and set up because I don't know what you're doing business. I don't know what your business is. Doesn't matter what your business is. You're not in the payroll business, right? They're in the payroll business. They know what payroll. They know how to do payroll. You don't know how to do payroll. You're not doing it well enough. You're paying more than you probably have to. Do you want to streamline? Do you want to make as much money for your business as possible? Do you want to keep people employed there? Or do you want to waste money? Do you want to throw away money on a payroll department that you don't even need? All right? But if you have a payroll department, put those people to work doing something else. Because here's the deal, is because you will make more money. You will do it more efficiently. You will do it better. You will do it technologically perfect every time because it seems like ours is perfect every time. I've never seen anyone with a payroll issue here at this station, and we've been with HR&P for I don't know how long. It's the best. It's the best way to go about this thing. And then you choose your benefit packages. They don't choose it for you because that's what the other admin companies do. Look, you're looking for the best way to get payroll to your people? HR&P. HRP.net. 281-880-6525 or HRP.net.
You're back in the Veritex Community Bank Studios with John and Lance.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. The Aggies got Arkansas this week. Yeah, I don't know how much longer they're going to be playing in Arkansas. Next year, they're scheduled to play at Arkansas. I think the last year of the deal in Arlington is they haven't played there. The Aggies have been. It hasn't been good for Arkansas in Arlington since the Aggies have won 12 of the last 13 meetings between the two teams. Well, the Aggies, since 2009 season, the Aggies and Razorbacks have played 12 of their 15 meetings at AT&T Stadium, but it looks like it's heading back there. It looks like they are going to stick with you know, Mike Elko made a pretty good point yesterday. He's like, yeah, just because we beat Bowling Green 26-20, maybe Bowling Green is pretty good, okay? Maybe – is Bowling Green possibly better than Florida? Is there a chance? They went to Florida and took care of that business. Marcel Reed played really well. Marcel Reed played almost the same, I think, statistically against Bowling Green, and yet everybody's like, oh, that sucked.
Well, it's Bowling Green. Although Bowling Green, I talked about it last week, they challenged Penn State. So yeah. they're not a soft out.
No, that's not. Mm-mm. No, I think just because their name is Bowling Green, you know, that you just go, maybe Bowling Green is pretty good. Maybe Bowling Green is better than Arkansas. There is that chance because Arkansas isn't all that.
Arkansas went in to beat Hugh Freeze, and then Hugh Freeze told everybody, no disrespect, I like Sam Pittman, but we would win that game 9 out of 10 times. Like, Hugh Freeze has got to shut up. Like, this is really a problem. Hugh Freeze is a problem for humanity. This is the same guy. You just got your butt kicked at home by Arkansas. I don't care what even happened in the game. I don't even know how it went down. I just know you lost by, I think, 10 at home. 27-17, I believe. You lost by 10 at home, and now you go out and say, we will beat them 9 out of 10 times. That sounds like somebody on the internet would say.
That sounds like a Twitter fan.
That sounds like, yeah.
Like one of your kids.
Something Mason would say. Absolutely. He talks about his quarter. We got to find a quarterback that doesn't throw interceptions and running backs that don't fumble. Like, man, what? This is literally, he's literally a Twitter account who's a head coach.
Mm-hmm.
He's a Twitter troll who is a head coach.
Oh, I give a rat's ass about Twitter.
Listen, you got to stick with Marcel Reed, though. I don't know how you can go back to Connor Wegman right now. If Marcel Reed stumbles, and Marcel Reed is, I think, on, and that's a shame too, because Marcel Reed probably deserves to be the guy. With the way that he's played as opposed to the way Connor Wegman played early on. I know Connor Wegman was just anointed, but Marcel Reed has played better. And if he does stumble, it's going to be Connor Wegman's job again, which is a shame because every quarterback is going to struggle at some point.
Well, but who do they consider the best talent? Like, here's the thought. The thought from that I've heard.
You can be considered the best talent, but what did you do on the field? Connor, if they got any quarterback play at all, they beat Notre
Wegman
Dame.
Wegman was awful. Recruited for Jimbo's offense.
Yeah.
This offense is different. If Colin Klein asked quarterbacks to run, that's Wegman is actually not a good fit. Wegman will transfer. He'll be in a transfer portal by the end of the year. After the year's over, Wegman will transfer. He's not going to be an Aggie. He's not a fit for Colin Klein. Colin Klein expects his quarterbacks to be Colin Klein.
Yeah.
Like, offense is supposed to look like Bucky Richardson and no.
That snap, and then he just pauses for a second and then runs.
Yeah.
That was Colin Klein.
That was Colin Klein. That guy was almost a Heisman Trophy winner.
Yeah.
I think he actually went to, if I remember correctly, he went to Manhattan. He was a finalist.
He might have, yeah.
Yeah, I think was that the whole bit from Manhattan to Manhattan?
Yeah, he was. But he did a lot of, like, Tim Tebow-y stuff. It was quarterback run. That's not Connor Wegman. So I think Wegman's going to look at that and say, this offense is not for me. I think Wegman will not be an Aggie because he was recruited to be a certain kind of offense. And if that's the case, then yeah, the other quarterback's a better fit.
Yeah. And listen, it ain't Donovan Smith's job. It just ain't automatically Donovan Smith's job.
At Houston?
Yeah, at Houston. Zion's going to play. He is playing in this week. He said we got, I don't know if it's just packages or if he is actually, if he's going to get, just going to, you know, alternate, whatever the case may be, it just ain't his job. And it ain't Jackson Arnold's job anymore. That's a,
no,
boy,
it shouldn't be.
Is he bad? They had the turnover where they were on the 5-yard line and the very next play, he fumbles the ball away. Holy crap.
John's talking about Oklahoma's quarterback. And this kid,
Oklahoma,
Michael Hawkins,
played with them.
This kid Michael Hawkins, who they had, he was much more competitive. The only reason Oklahoma even stayed within 10 points is just because Tennessee just played so conservative. I mean, field goals galore. They weren't going for fourth downs, things they always do. And Josh Heupel at the end ended up saying, when they asked him, I was like, we played the game we felt like we needed to play against Oklahoma. It was basically they were saying, we know their offense isn't very good. But the Hawkins kid is a, yeah, their backup who came in, he'll be the new starter. He's better. And he's a freshman. You get to grow with the freshman. So, week three, week four of college football is where the changing of the guard starts happening at quarterbacks. And maybe it'll happen at Houston. I think it may have already happened, maybe full-time for A&M. We'll see. But this is where you got to start making decisions about, okay, if our quarterback's not good enough, do we have somebody on the bench that we can go to? Because you better find out, because they'll portal out of there.
U of H is 129th out of 133 schools in scoring.
So
122nd in total offense, 107th in passing, 107th in passing and rushing, 52 points fewest through four games for U of H since 51 in 1995. It's bad. They're bad offensively. And so Zion is going to get, Chris is going to get, he got some looks. He ran a lot. He doesn't throw much, but he ran a lot. So we'll find out whether, I mean, it ain't going to get any easier with Iowa State coming in here this Saturday, that's for sure. So they're going to have to figure something out offensively. But it was kind of a weird hire. I mean, Mississippi State was awful last year, and they hired their OC. It was kind of a strange hire, but we'll see. Mm-hmm. We'll see whether or not he can turn it around. 713-780-3776 to get in here with us on ESPN 97.5. Tyrone, you're first up on the other side, but first, Underdog Fantasy.
Underdog Fantasy gives you a chance to play along with the games that you're watching, and it gives you a chance to have a lot of fun and win good money. Really cool feature that they have now where and all the stats that they give you for all the different players, and you choose which ones you want to go higher or lower in their cash pick'em game, you can actually alter and change the stats to make it easier where the multiplier is less than one, or make it harder on yourself where you end up winning even more money. And you got a chance to win up to 1,000 times your original play. So this is really rare air that we're talking about in a game that is so much fun. The Pick'em Challenge, where you are watching and you're like, you know, every snap is important to you here in the football season. Making picks on Underdog is straightforward. Signing up is even easier. Just head over to Underdog's simple-to-use mobile app or go to UnderdogFantasy.com. Sign up with promo code Lance, and Underdog's going to give you a free pick to use on your first cash pick'em entry, plus up to $1,000 in bonus cash when you deposit. That's Underdog Fantasy, promo code Lance, to claim your new customer special of a free pick and your deposit offer. Users must be 18 or older in present state where Underdog Fantasy operates. Terms and conditions apply. Consider it your play. Call 800-GAMBLER or visit ncpgambling.org.
You're back in the Veritex Community Bank Studios with John and Lance
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. 713-780-3776. Lance was just watching Kevin O'Connell, the Vikings head coach, in the locker room after the game. Three game balls given out. And of course, Jonathan Grenard had three sacks and four tackles. Camu Grugier-Hill had the interception to start the game. Both former Texans.
I thought Blake Cashman was going to be the last ball.
I don't think he really stood out that much in the game. David Quessenberry was in there, too. He came into the game, too. He played some.
Yeah, and he said we ran behind him. He mentioned every Texan.
Yeah, every Texan.
I didn't know this was a big deal to go from a team that wasn't like...
Well, those four guys... Well, and one
is
more
Camu
guy.
Grugier-Hill mad about the Texans? Does he have beef with the Texans? They gave you free money with bad coaches.
When they let you go, they release you, or they say, you know, we don't want you to come back.
Yeah. No, I get it. But the last game ball that I was shocked by because I didn't know.
Yeah, Mike Parson.
A lot of people don't know who this is.
He was the equipment guy for the Texans.
Beloved.
Beloved. They love Mike
Parsons.
And
he got Easterby.
He plays up at Wildcat all the time when he's in town.
He literally, Jack Easterby whacked him because there was a huge paranoia going around. Like,
well, you know, Jack Easterby paranoia.
Yeah, yeah. Well, he and Bill. He got whacked when Bill was
Jack there. Easterby. He's a busy bee.
Bill, too.
Yeah.
He wasn't Bill's guy. Bill, I guess you have to have a certain guy to handle uniform stuff?
I guess.
Equipment?
I guess.
Because this guy who is beloved, and they say the best, I mean, everyone says he's the best guy. The best guy. Everyone in the building loves him. And the Texans got rid of him out of pure paranoia.
I knew.
And the guy went to Minnesota, and they love him in Minnesota.
Yeah, they love him. And they loved him here. And it was a shock when he was fired. I talked to him for about an hour after that when he got fired, and there was a lot of crap. I heard a lot of crap going on. Man, it is so good that crap is out of the building. That Jack Easterby created such an atmosphere. We don't have to rehash all of that. But it was directly because of Jack Easterby wanting everybody that was in that building to be beholden to him.
Yeah.
That he hired you. That you guys
thought we were making too big a deal. Some of you thought we were making too big a deal. We really weren't. And probably not even a big enough deal. It really, like on Monday, yesterday, we got to talk about, with no other consideration other than guys didn't get guys blocked. CJ didn't play great. The coaches got out coached defensively. You know, why did the? It was football, and there's nothing else in my mind because I'm clear headed on the back end. I know that for the last couple of years, or when Jack Easterby and Bill O'Brien were here, it was all about all the crap that was going. Like you could talk about the games, but in your heart, you know it can't really get any better because there are cancers inside of the building that are in charge of everything. So even if we're talking about games, the games, you're playing with a bunch of players who are not going to be factors. You have a team that can't go anywhere, and you got an organization that literally is dying from the inside. And now our conversations are legitimate, you know, football stuff. Like, oh, they got a big head, and they needed to be – the Texans maybe needed to get their butts kicked and things like that. We don't have to worry about – like, I'm not worried about ownership. I'm not worried about front office. I'm not worried about what's going on in the building. None of that stuff. I don't care about that. That's all working itself out. That's not a problem. That's clear.
Yeah.
That's clear. That's fine.
D'Amico at the head and Nick Caserio. All business. It ain't any of that BS. It's not about, you know, any paranoia. It's not nothing like that. No, it's about football. And football sucked on Sunday. There's no question. I almost said it. What a crappy weekend we had between the U of H, between the Astros losing to the Angels, between the Texans.
Well, the Astros won 2 out of 3.
Yeah, but Sunday it could have been a one down to one. Okay, and they lost the game. You don't lose to the Angels. You don't lose to the Angels. I mean, come on. I know you beat them 7 straight games.
I mean, you might lose once to them.
Yeah, you don't know. You don't need to do that. You need to, and especially when you got the lead tonight, then with Josh Hader on the mound giving up 4 runs. I don't need that in my life. I need Tyrone in my life. What's up, Tyrone?
Hey, I just got a question for y'all. What's going to be y'all's reaction when the Jaguars come in and beat us at home? Because that's what it's looking like it's going to happen.
Oh, wow. Wow.
What is wrong with you?
Wow.
What?
Well, after what they did, why do you think they're going to come in here and win? 47-10?
8 straight losses by Trevor Lawrence.
Doug Peterson was asked about changes being made, including they specifically said about Trevor Lawrence. He goes, well, everything's on the table as far as changes. He said everything's on the table. Because he wouldn't answer specifically about Lawrence. He was asked about him. He goes, everything's on the table. He would even say, yeah, he's going to start next week.
Trevor Lawrence has lost 8 straight games. You've got Jaden Daniels has scored 15 consecutive possessions. Hasn't punted since the first week of football. He's either got a field goal, other than 2 different end of the half, 1 snap handoffs, which are not drives. He has scored in 15 straight drives as a rookie. Cliff Kingsbury's doing a hell of a job, by the way.
Cliff is doing great.
Cliff Kingsbury is probably better off being an OC than a head coach. Cliff still knows what he's doing now. Cliff and Jaden have been a match made in heaven. It's been great. I thought O'Connell would be a match made in heaven with, you know, I thought Bo Nix with Sean Payton, Jaden Daniels with Cliff, and also who's the one that we just said?
JJ,
yeah, JJ McCarthy, who is going to be out for the year. We don't know. Yeah. With Caleb.
Well, he's doing a hell of a job with Sam Darnold.
Yeah, I don't know about Caleb. I'll say this. I watched that Colts game. Also, I watched both of them on dual receivers.
How's Caleb, Anthony look?
Bad. I don't know. He's got to run the football. That's the only reason that you, like, you got to follow the Cam Newton pathway, or you're going to kill your team if you throw the football. He was 10 of 20 with two of the worst interceptions you've ever seen. And you've got to be willing to just duck your head and just go get yards on the ground. Guys who can run the football who choose not to because they want to try to prove themselves in the pocket, they're just going to be out of the league. Like, it doesn't, you know, we saw that. Remember years ago when Slash, unfortunately, Cordell Stewart was trying to, he played at a time that, you know, the timing of when he played quarterback was rough because there was, it wasn't developed to really incorporate the dual threat quarterback. Although I think Chicago wanted him to be dual threat. I think they loved that he was dual threat, and he, you know, wanted to prove he could win from the pocket. It was the worst mistake Cordell Stewart ever made. Run. It's one of the things that cannot be game planned against when you're dropping back to pass. Like, you can try to, you can, now teams, they played a lot of zone, so it's harder for a quarterback to run, you know, and gain these big yards. You get a team playing man-to-man in passing situations, you break the pocket, and you can go for a long way. But if you're Anthony Richardson, I got news for you. You're a dual-threat quarterback. You better be dual-threat. You better run and run it a whole lot more than that. Will Levis, you better get out of the pocket and start running more to prove that you can, you know, be a dual-threat quarterback as well, because he's a really tough runner. Jaden Daniels, he's doing both, just like he did at LSU.
Yep.
And he's got pretty good, you know, not bad wide receivers over there. They've actually got some talent. Terry McLaurin is a good wide receiver. He just had bad quarterback play the last few years. But I think Terry McLaurin's a pretty good receiver, yep. And he looked great yesterday.
Yep. First NFL coach to get fired.
Hold on. What do you got? Peterson's been bad. Oh, Zach Taylor's 0-3 now.
Well, the odds are the favorite, Mike McCarthy.
Oh, yeah, of course. Cowboys.
Doug Peterson, second. He's 3-1, 4-1. Brian Daboll, 6-1.
Mm-hmm.
Stefanski's 6-1. Antonio Pierce is 10-1. Eberflus, 10. Dennis Allen.
Allen of the Saints?
Of the Saints.
All it took was losing one game. They're 2-1.
Yeah, I guess. Zach Taylor is 16-1.
You know, in the history of football, considering what the Bengals have been, that's an automatic Bengals win. Like, the Commanders are going in to play a desperate Bengals team was 0-2. Joe Burrow, Chase, Higgins is back. The right. Bengals got to win. In the history of football, that's a Commanders ass kicking. Instead, Daniels goes in there and beats them. Like, when does that ever happen that the rookie goes into a place where the team is desperate as hell and they go and win that game? Uh-huh. That never happens.
Nope. Well, they had to score every possession to do it.
It did take a lot, but well, they got it now, done.
Canty, get him the Canty soundbite. Canty makes a pretty good point. But
what's the name of their show? Unsportsmanlike.
Unsportsmanlike.
Conduct or unsportsmanlike or whatever. Chris Canty goes off on Joe
Burrow. We'll do that on the other side.
Yeah, and this is an example of somebody who's been waiting to say something. But you just should wait another week. Right now's not the time to do this.
And John Daspit is the right time.
John Daspit's always the right time if you've got an injury. Personal injury lawyers out there, there's a lot of them who are pretty shady with how they operate. And with John Daspit, that's not the case. Hires a lot of lawyers. He's got the most lawyers here in the city of Houston because he files the most claims and he spends the most time on the cases. His lawyers actually spend time with making sure and find, you know, they find what's going on with your case. They find out all the medical stuff. Sometimes they're kind of hidden medical expenses that don't pop up until later, like physical therapy, like MRIs that need to be done because you're not getting any better. You know, all of this needs to be accounted for. And John Daspit makes sure that he accounts for all of these things so that they don't come out of your pocket. You shouldn't have to pay anything if you've been hurt due to someone else's negligence. He's going to get you a strong settlement for your pain and suffering. And if you are injured to the point where you are not able to work, that time you miss from work is going to be accounted for as well. John Daspit is here for you. He's going to passionately pursue justice for the injured, and that includes everyone across the state. So even if you know somebody who's somewhere else here in the state of Texas, make sure you have them reach out to their local John Daspit office, because there's 12 across Houston. It's John Daspit. Go to DaspitLaw.com. That's DaspitLaw.com, or call 713-CALL-NOW.
You're back in the Veritex Community Bank Studios with John and Lance
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right, welcome back here. ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, 713-780-3776. You got that Chris Canty sound?
Yes.
You need to stop the buffoonery, though.
I'm not the one who needs to. Dan Orlovsky does.
Apparently, that's, Dan Orlovsky needs to stop.
And that's the different clip. The clip that started this all isn't even that one. Apparently, ESPN personalities are allowed to bite back at each other. So
there's a little sniping going on.
Yeah, but this is the first clip where Chris Canty took issue with Joe Burrow after what many would consider a great Joe Burrow night.
When your quarterback has a chance to go win the game, he's got to win the game.
Fair.
And Joe Burrow didn't do that. Jaden Daniels did. That's the problem that I have. The Cincinnati Bengals, they have a very, very specific formula for how they're going to have to win games. They're going to have to be led by their offense. You know how I know that? How they spend money. The Cincinnati Bengals are top five in spend on the offensive side of the ball relative to the rest of the league. They're 22nd in cash spend on defense. Newsflash, the defense for the Bengals ain't going to be as good as the offense. The offense is what's going to have to win the day. Only problem is the Commanders offense with a rookie quarterback in his third start won the damn game. I'm tired of all the excuses for Joe Burrow. Oh, the defense let Joe Burrow. No, Joe Burrow let Joe Burrow down. Joe Burrow let the offense down. Joe Burrow let the team down. Great stats, great stat line. Oh, it's amazing. He's had all of these touchdowns, no interceptions. But what did you do when the game was in the balance? What did you do when the game was on the line?
A touchdown.
You know the answer is? It's not enough. You know how I know it's not enough? It's because your team doesn't have a win, and you're going into week four.
He scored a touchdown.
This is such a bad time.
Every possession of the second
this
half.
This is a generation.
He ran out of time. He scored with a minute 30 to play. What are you talking about?
Go out there and get a stop, Joe.
It's a generationally.
Joe, go get a stop?
Yeah.
It's a generationally bad take.
The problem for Chris Canty is he allowed the first 2 weeks to.
Yeah.
Yes.
Push him
he
into
He could
this.
Have said it. I got what he was saying, but he had already set this up.
If he said this last week, that's a different
No, story. He had already set this up. He knew what he was going to say, and he could have even said, look, you got to get out of the gate faster, Joe, because you know this defense. The offense scored three consecutive touchdowns in the second half, and their possessions, the last three possessions, all Joe Burrow did was try to win, score touchdowns. You know what the offense did that led that offense? They had 30 first downs, Cincinnati did, which is one of the highest numbers I've seen in, like, ever. 30 first downs yesterday. They had 60 total plays on 30 first downs. 436 total yards of offense. The timing. Canty knew what he wanted to say. People are making excuses for Joe Burrow.
Had six possessions, and they had 400 yards. Six possessions.
That's it?
That's it. And they scored every time, except the first time when McPherson missed the field goal.
Yeah.
He got him in scoring position every possession.
It's just such a poorly timed comment by Canty. What he should have said was, hey, it's a great game, but we got to, you know, I know the stats look great, but this is Joe Burrow. The first 2 weeks was not good. He got off to a – no, I don't know. There's really actually nothing you could say.
He was actually fine in week two. They lost a one-point game to the Chiefs.
Yeah, I don't think – he was actually good. Yeah, he was bad against the Patriots.
Yes.
This is – Chris Canty's been waiting to say this.
Yeah.
And so he just thought he was going to get it out. Like, you're right, he was good against – because I was expecting him to be bad against the Chiefs, and he wasn't bad against the Chiefs. It is – Canty really wanted to, like, okay, people are taking shots at these other quarterbacks. I'm going to go and say, Joe, I'm tired of Joe Burrow getting. You can say it in a general sense. Joe Burrow has had injury issues. He's not gone back to, you know, what's the highest level he's gone back to ever since his second year in the league? He's not been as consistent. But, man, that take was so forced. You got to go make plays to win the game. Scored touchdowns every time he was on the field.
He scored a touchdown with his last possession.
What that is, hey, we talk a lot about Joe Burrow. Jaden Daniels, you could have turned it into a Jaden Daniels thing. Right. And save your Joe Burrow take for later in the year if it happens. You got to put that in your folder.
Yeah.
Put that in your drafts. Put that Joe Burrow, anti-Joe Burrow, Joe Burrow's not giving enough heat. Just go put it in your drafts and have it when it makes more sense. Canty's got to learn.
What did Orlovsky say to Canty?
Well, he tweeted, I got a lot of love for Chris. That is ludicrous to say.
Nothing wrong with that.
And then Canty responded with this.
To defend Joe Burrow. I'm talking to Stephen A. Smith. I'm talking to Shannon Sharp. Yeah, I saw you put them laughing emojis on that first take Instagram post. I saw that, Shay. I saw that. And I'm talking to Dan Orlovsky, who wanted to chime in on Twitter, Smalls.
He did.
And I explained to him, unlike Bengals wins, I ain't hard to find. I'm right here on Unsportsmanlike. Just saying. Can we cut the buffoonery, Dan? Can we cut it out when it comes to the Cincinnati Bengals?
Buffoonery. He's a buffoon?
It's kind of buffoonery what he did with his comment. And, you know, and I'm there with him. Like, I get what he's saying about Burrow. I think he's given more credit than maybe he deserves and some stuff because he has not ever, like, we're still living off of LSU in the second year in the league, and he's a perennially slow starter. He's the Alex Bregman of quarterbacks. Well, so are the Bengals. But, man, yesterday was not the day to unleash that take.
Yeah. Not the way you played.
No. Huh. I mean, he played fine. Yesterday should be a Jaden Daniels thing. They should be talking about how great. Yeah, you talk about the Bengals being 0-3, and can they come back and get to the playoffs? I don't think so. I think Mike T and the Cincinnati and the Pittsburgh Steelers are just going to play steady Eddie football. They got a good defense. They'll run the ball. I think having a quarterback that's a little less inclined to throw, I think it actually helps them. Because you sit there and you think you need to throw the football with Kenny Pickett and just wasn't very good at it. And then with Justin Fields, you're going to say, well, we're not going to throw it a ton. That's not Justin's strong point. But they're using him in a really good way. They're managing football. Like, it's really good job by the Steelers. Justin Fields is growing up and playing, you know, looks like he's more comfortable the way he's playing. I know we're talking about a lot of other NFL teams and not the Texans as much, but we got a lot of our Texans thoughts. I don't really.
What I'm thoughts on to, about the Texans?
I'm on to Jacksonville.
Yeah.
What thoughts? Do you have anything new with the Texans that you were ruminating on yesterday?
No, I was pissed that, I mean, some of the decision making.
Okay.
You know what? I don't think it's not often, and, you know, D'Amico's got, is a saint here or Saint D'Amico already, and he's got, yeah, he hasn't been criticized at all. He had a piss poor game. The defensive strategy against Justin Jefferson was garbage, and the offense sucked. I mean, you did nothing offensively. I don't know where these big plays that he's talking about that the offensive line made. The offensive line has not been good since the opening game. The offensive line and you know what? CJ hasn't been great. They need to start playing. They played really, really well in week one, and since then not so much, and they need to play better. They didn't play well against the Bears, and especially and even defensively. Ooh. Well, defensively they played great against
what
the
about
Bears.
What about somebody, what about Kublai's just said Chris Canty, say that again, but replace Burrow with Stroud.
What, don't be a jerk, say that about CJ,
replace him with CJ.
2-1. Okay.
I will say it fits a little.
Makes you
after this last game.
It like, makes you game. A little uncomfortable it makes how me well it fits.
It makes me. I come in today, and I will admit this. I'm not as comfortable as I once was with calling other people poor.
Well, that's something you should never have been comfortable with.
When I say other people, I mean other teams, fan bases.
You mean quarterback poor.
Quarterback poor. Yeah, like. I still have a lot of faith. I still have a lot of faith in C.J. Stroud.
Now, the Vikings quarterback poor?
I mean, they don't seem like it.
Quarterback middle class, at least.
Yeah, they're quarterback middle class, but like middle class in the 70s and 80s.
Yeah, that middle class.
Not like this now middle class where you still can't afford stuff or you can't sell your house because you know that you'll get smashed by interest rates trying to buy a new one. You can't afford to go to college. Yeah, not this middle class. No, he said, yeah, like right now Sam Darnold is comfortable 1980s middle class.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Bought his first home, two cars, kids are doing fine and all that.
And you thought the Texans were like living on the beach.
I thought, let me up in the
can walk.
Get my turn at that. In my head,
yeah, had a place in Malibu.
Yeah.
In my head, we were the Jeffersons. That we were moving on up. We were already in a penthouse in the sky. Mm-hmm. Like everything, we went from down here to like, we're moving on up. And I thought we were here and we had Bentley running around, stepping on people's back. We had a maid. Well, you're a maid. You're a butler now, John, to Gilbert. But
that's true.
You had that nasty Florence who was just the worst maid I've ever seen. She should have been fired years ago. And Wheezy's mom, who always had smart-ass things to say to George.
Wait, you're getting away from where we were.
Well, we were the Jeffersons. I know. Oh, okay. But we were the Jeffersons. I thought we had moved up to a deluxe apartment in the sky. I thought we had...
Yeah.
I felt like we were like up in a penthouse suite like George Jefferson, and I thought everything was really sweet for us. But
seems like today maybe we're a two-bedroom...
We're 2-1 in a bad division. We're 2-1 in a bad division. Everything's fine.
You beat two bad football teams.
Everything's fine.
I don't know. We're on the Lower East Side on the third floor.
No, everything's fine. Everything's fine. We're 2-1. The Colts have one win. The Jaguars and Titans are both 0-3.
That sound you hear is me smacking a roach that just crawled across my sink.
Hey, that's because you're smacking your roach for your Dolphins.
No, because
Dolphins.
You're living okay.
I'm living comfortable. And going, you know what?
You're not living comfortable.
No, I am living comfortable.
Jets? Are you kidding? You won't even get to the playoffs. You're dead. You're dead.
Your season's done already. I'm living very comfortably because, like I said, in defense of the Texans yesterday, unlike you guys who were so damn negative, on my show, we led with positivity. Yes, I said they're undisciplined. And by the way, that's D'Amico's teams are undisciplined. It's a long-ass season. What that game meant in a long season. Hey, you know what happened last year?
What's up with Skyler?
The Chiefs. He's not going to play. The Chiefs.
So Tim Boyle starts this week?
Or Tyler Huntley.
It's Tim Boyle or Tyler Huntley.
Against Will Levis. Poor.
Taking on Will Levis in the
so
worst
poor.
Game.
Yeah.
Your quarterback room is so bad.
I'm good because when you have Skyler or Tim Boyle playing, there's no hope, so you don't care what happens. So I'm comfortable. That's why I said I'm comfortable. I'm comfortable in my poorness because I realized what I am. I don't have any dreams. Hope is a killer, Lance. You have hope, and hope kills.
Hope does.
Matt, when is Joe going to go back to his regular hair color?
Joe looks like he's
about
to cry.
That's what Joe needs to do. Needs to go back to his regular hair color, wear a t-shirt and jeans
instead of a blown-out back. No, Joe.
Okay, stop.
He had a great day last night. What do you mean?
No, they're 0-3. He's 0-3 is what
Canty.
He is.
John Canty.
Yeah. Time to talk about access.
That's not your LSU Joe. That's Joe who smokes a cigar.
Yeah, no.
Who goes to fashion
that's
shows.
That's Joe that's
you don't
on
even
a,
know that
a
Joe.
Cigar boat.
Yeah, but you should be thrilled. Your LSU won last night. Jane Daniels.
LSU did win last night.
Won.
LSU couldn't lose.
Couldn't lose.
LSU won and they lost. Okay, Joe's my guy, and it's hard to claim him anymore though.
What do you mean?
With the blown out back,
he
and
doesn't
the
have
pear.
A blown out back.
Okay, stop already.
He has
Joe. Go back to being from Ohio.
He's a fashionista. That's okay. all. Don't worry about it.
He's Burrow. BU. Your people turn him into this.
No.
BURREAUX. He thought he was
now. That's the Burrow he needs to be.
That man sold his soul.
No, that's the Burrow he needs to be, not Burrow in Paris.
Did you think he had like a 5-year thing on selling his soul? Now he's coming back. Now the devil's claiming.
Devil said, I'll give you five years? No, he took him out 2 years with injuries.
Oh, okay.
No, I mean, really, he had 2 years.
2 years.
The Super Bowl year and the LSU year, and that's really it.
Okay.
That is about it. All right, we got a break. 713-780-3776.
I mean, he did get a new contract.
We got to talk about Doc Manavese. That's what we're talking about, not your bill. We're talking about Doc Manavese, and we're talking about your prostate. There's not a lot of times you don't even think about your prostate, do you? Well, if you're going to the bathroom quite a bit, if you have to get up in the middle of the night a bunch, if you're going up and down two, three times a night, it's like, what? Now, you got a real prostate issue. And it's serious, okay, because you could get urinary tract infections, you could get liver problems, kidney problems. You don't want kidney problems, all right? So stop already and get this checked out. It's an MRI. There's no pain involved here, no pain whatsoever. You get an IV. You get the MRI, and then doc's going to give you an IV where you sit there for about 45 minutes, and you are and your prostate decreases, and you're living a wonderful life again, as opposed to going to the bathroom all the time. Look, you're looking for the best way to get rid of this. Now, do not get surgery, because the surgery is awful, awful, awful. If your doctor says you got an enlarged prostate and you need surgery, you immediately leave and go to 975prostate.com. That's 975prostate.com.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits, with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.